Alternative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I gave a little bit of a history lesson, and I think a lot of people may have thought that maybe perhaps I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist because I came to the conclusion that this is all about unrolling the Civil Rights Act. And it's no longer a conspiracy because last week Governor Ron DeSantis, aka Tropical Hitler, he held a diversity, equity, inclusion roundtable.
You gotta give a little bit of credit. Tropical, aka Tropical Hitler. So now in order to complete this picture, okay, you have to imagine that Vanessa Reynolds, who was the speaker in the public forum last night for the Escambia County School District special meeting on how to handle the lightning rod books that have been protested as being illegal under current Florida law dealing with obscenity and pornography and sexually lurid materials in the libraries, not in the classroom, not in instructional material, but just in the library available for the kiddos, right, at different ages. Okay, and that's part of the question. So red was the color of protest, right? Red was the color of protest, which is always a weird thing to me because, you know, red historically, a little bit of a mixed bag politically, you know, red currently, and I say that deliberately, is the color for, you know, Republicans in the United States. When you're looking at the map, red is right, red is conservatives, Republicans, and blue is left, Democrats, right? You know that, like, in the early days, it was the other way around. When they were first doing that national map for the color of the states that went for the presidential candidates, I think it was the Reagan election. I'm going on memory here, but I believe it was the Reagan election. If you go back and look, the TV map showing the Reagan sweep was, you know, 49 blue states. And it's a little bit of a mind warp to see it because you're like, what the what?
That's
you know,
weird.
Yeah. How can that be the case? Okay. But also, you know, historically red is things like, I don't know, communism.
You're right.
I mean, you know, red China. You know, red Russia. So red's a little bit of a mixed bag. These days, the socialists, when they show up at a thing, wear red.
Right.
There's no connection between that, I don't think, and the red of the folks who were showing up last night to protest. I'm just observing it's a weird color in terms of politics because it can be Republican, it can be communist, it can be a lot of different things. In this particular case, Ms. Reynolds was wearing a red T-shirt that had the words, Hail Satan, on it.
Like Satan?
Yeah, Satan.
Or was
Satan.
It the food?
No,
okay.
not satin like sheets, but Satan.
Right,
like,
okay.
You know, the guy.
Checking
okay.
to see if she's joking.
Yeah, and established 666.
Okay.
So just a tone set for you.
I get where she's going.
Just a tone set for you. Had she not been wearing that, I would have thought, seems like a perfectly sweet lady, you know? She grew up in Escambia County Schools and all this. And, you know, if you looked at her, she's shopping in the aisle at Publix, you would never give her a second thought, except that she just looks like a very normal woman, and yet she's the one who you know, wants to talk about Tropical Hitler.
And that was hosted by, or somebody in there by the name of Scott Yenner, who has labeled feminist an enemy of the state. When you are labeled an enemy of the state, that is fascist talk right there, period.
She's talking about the roundtable that Governor DeSantis did on critical race theory and all that stuff. Also, typically, calling somebody a fascist is a way of designating them an enemy of the state. So it's kind of a weird one, right? Because, like, on the one hand, you want to say that people are making my people, people are calling my people enemies of the state. On the other hand, you're calling them fascists, which is sort of code in America for enemy of the state. You know, so it's, you know. But if somebody's actually a fascist and you don't call them a fascist, then you're probably hiding the truth and they really are an enemy of the state and you're not calling them on it. So if you're not calling a fascist when they are a fascist, then you're probably an enemy of the state for not calling. It's very confusing to figure out all these ideologies. Plus, they can't figure out which color to settle on. So let me just tell you, here's the upshot. 7+ hours last night. My recorder quit. Like, my recorder decided at about somewhere around, I don't know, I was asleep. But my recorder started at 5:30, okay? And somewhere around 1 a.m., because it was about 7.5 hours, is when my recorder just said, I'm done here. And the meeting was still going. So, yeah, probably because I'm a fascist. I mean, you know, who knows? Fascist audio equipment doesn't work as well for us as it does for other people. So I suppose that's true. I will say this, that based on I didn't see the results personally because I was asleep. And also, I knew this was going to just be a ridiculously long meeting. But a fairly good friend of mine, Sarah Latshaw, who is heads up the ACLU here locally, he said, how could she be a good friend? Because don't pick your friends based on ideology. Pick your friends based on people being good people. I mean, just come on now. Come on.
You can have friends in the ACLU.
Of course you can. And, you know, and she can have friends who are like me. It's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say just, that red hair and totalitarianism.
Yeah,
you know, that
it's
makes
weird,
sense.
You know,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah. I was actually just talking to her the other day and seeing if she'd be able to come on the rap, which I hope she can because she's super smart. Anyway, I don't remember how I know her. I mean, I know her from the ACLU, but she's my New York Times crossword buddy. Like, she loves to sit in the coffee shop and do the Times crossword puzzle. Anyway, she updated this 2 hours ago, so that would be 3 a.m. You follow? 3 a.m. is when I saw this update. So I don't know when the school board meeting ended. I just know it was after 1. She says there were 4 books up. Drama wound up being kept for middle school and high school, banned from elementary school. New Kid was kept from high school and middle school and banned from elementary. The Bluest Eye, the Toni Morrison book, was kept for 11th and 12th grade only. And The Nowhere Girls was kept in 11th and 12th grade only. And she says, while this isn't exactly what we wanted, I suppose it's better than all-out censorship. I was moved by the many speakers who shared personal stories and the impact of these books on their lives and their students' lives. It made all the difference. While I'm too tired to process it all, so I'm 3 a.m., you know, I will go to sleep tonight with a sliver of hope that reason may still prevail. I was so proud to be proud of a community who shows up. Let me say, I totally agree with her. Not in particular judgment about any of these books, none of which I have read, even the Toni Morrison, you know, hey, there's a lot of stuff I haven't read, I'm sorry. But what I appreciate about these decisions is that they reflect an improvement over the prior decisions where it was just banned. You know, just banned. And because what I said at the time was what? Probably for most of these books, the right decision is something like not in the elementary libraries, but okay in the middle and high school. Or not in the elementary and the middle, but okay in the high school. And I didn't even know they had this third option of juniors and seniors only, which is also makes sense because, look, a 16 or a 17-year-old is different from a 14 or 15-year-old. And if you don't know that, you've not met kids. I mean, they just are. There are some 17-year-olds who are still kind of 12 inside. There are some 52-year-olds who are still kind of 12 inside. Sometimes they let them host radio shows. But, you know, and some, you know, some 14-year-olds are like 28 inside, you know, or like Paul Stadden, 104. I mean, you know, the point is that, you know.
That's true.
it's hard to cut and make these lines, right, of where these materials should be available to people. Yes, pretty clearly you shouldn't have, like, naked sex act depictions in cartoons available to, say, you know, 7-year-olds. I mean, I hope all agree about that. But again, having listened to only the barest smidgen of the meeting last night, and it was only because this particular speaker caught my eye while I was recording it on my second computer. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Let me check this out. That's entertaining. So it sounds to me like the school board made the right decisions, particularly because they seem to have made nuanced decisions. They didn't just straight prohibit the books. They didn't just straight permit the books. They seem to want to set, you know, this is an R15. Or this is a PG-13, or this is a PG-10. And again, in general, that scheme makes sense to me. So that's your update from the, again, unknown duration meeting from last night. But I think it was 10 hours. I think it was about 9.5 to 10 hours. So we're definitely going to get through all of these books in time. There's like 100 left. Oh my God.
They could have read them all at the meeting.
Oh yeah, no, you can't read them at the meeting. No, that's one of the sticking points. You cannot read these books in public because they're so vulgar. That's, in fact,
I meant out loud because they had 10 hours.
That's what I'm, I know what you meant. I'm saying a different point.
All right.
But no, but by the way, this is actually one of the more entertaining, like, side notes on this whole issue of appropriateness of materials in the school libraries. The, at the Governor DeSantis event where he was talking about this, gosh, now 2 weeks ago, and they were starting to read or show the books that were being considered, particularly the ones that were, like, graphic novels depicting gay sex and, you know, sex acts. And the TV feeds all cut out because they couldn't show it on TV. Which is kind of a point about the inappropriateness of the materials if you can't even show them in a public forum commenting on whether you should be able to show them or make them available to kids on their own recognizance when they go to the library. 520 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, yeah. And then there's the total spectacle that's going to happen today when we're going to have a conversation in the other school board. The school board meetings are always a little bit like Fast and Furious. You know, they had the Monday meeting, and then they had the special books meeting, and then they have the Tuesday actual meeting where they vote on things. And today they're going to vote on whether to recommend or request that the county commission approve a ballot item to return the superintendent in Escambia County to being an elected position. I will future news the future news. You ready? 4-1, Kevin Adams is going to lose. Is it four people? If they're awake by the time of the meeting, they're gonna vote this down 4-1, if you ask me, because I don't hear from any of, and I did not watch the discussion yesterday, so this is going on what I know of the school board members, not based on what they said yesterday in the 1 o'clock meeting. But based on what I know of them, I would expect this measure to fail 4-1, and then it'll be a conversation about whether they're going to keep or fire Tim Smith. That's going to be the real question. 521 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit. New PCI. See dealer for details.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive pain-relieving cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Please, what does it always mean? Is this Junior?
That's his name. Henry Jones Jr.
Like Indiana.
We named the dog Indiana.
Feel my lighter arm going up right now. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Of course, these days it's your phone arm, right? Isn't that sad? You know, I don't go to concerts much anymore, ever.
No.
But there is a part of me that wonders, semi-facetiously, is there not an app that will show like a lighter flame instead of just turning on the phone light?
100%.
Yeah. Oh, see, that's what
that
you
was the first app I got. I know that. Brent showed me how to do it because he's like, get an iPhone.
That's fantastic. And yeah, your thumb doesn't even get tired holding down the
plug. No, you
thing.
Just hold it up. Good, like all right. Idiot.
What were you going to tell me about Indiana Jones and Last Crusade?
Now I'm wondering if I dreamt it because I never see anybody. I have zero friends except for people here at the station. No offense.
Well, whatever. We're in. Go ahead.
Just about Crystal Skull and how there's like.
Oh, don't talk
Indiana
about that movie. That's not that movie does
what
not exist.
Said too. So now I'm wondering if I dreamt it, but I'm sure
Crystal
I didn't.
Skull does not exist. We don't talk about it. It's
does.
A non-movie.
Yes, it does, and it's whatever.
Also, it had Shia LaBeouf, so Extra doesn't exist.
As a, it wasn't the worst movie.
You can't hide from a nuclear blast inside of a refrigerator.
But I just had this conversation with somebody. It was the same exact thing.
Are you pre-dreaming our shows? Is that what you're doing?
Dude, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
I'm on Red Bull. I was, oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
He chose poorly.
David
Wayne.
That's what they said, too. They're wondering. It doesn't matter. I have no friends. Oh, it was Bobby. Yeah, that makes sense. Sorry. Yeah, he feels the same that you do. Sorry, I was filling in for news last week.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines.
I personally
David.
Think that the if Shia LaBeouf is in it, it doesn't exist argument is very valid.
I think that's like a tautology, really. That's that's an argument
guys
that's unassailable.
And Bobby all are jerks. it's not the worst. It's a standalone movie. You guys?
All right.
Help me, Brent Lane. Okay.
The Secret Service and New York police are coordinating security plans for a possible indictment of former President Trump. ABC News reports the agencies discussed those logistics on Monday, including...
Okay. Go ahead. Just
sure.
Ahead.
Including how President Trump or former President Trump would potentially surrender.
We do have to interrupt this
all right,
for
go
a
ahead.
Breaking yeah. personality appearance. We have Brent Lane from the Cat Pack Morning Show across the street.
Man, it's good to be here.
All right, can we all agree this is the conversation we're just having?
We were having
Kingdom
a...
of the Crystal Skull
okay.
does not exist.
How do you feel?
As a movie, does not exist. Are not they... just bad, but does not exist bad.
Man,
because it has Shia LaBeouf, therefore Extra Double doesn't exist.
But I don't know how they're going to retcon that in the next movie. They're going to do it with the time warp thing, maybe? I don't know.
I'm just saying, from my point of view,
Thank
it's
you,
not
Brent
part
Lane.
Of the canon.
No, the voice of
I
reason.
I can't do it. I can't do it, Andrew.
Go back
McKay,
to your
I'm
country
sorry.
Music. Go back
well,
to your country music.
Listen,
heart.
The fedora only lands on one head.
Yeah.
And if that head says that there was a Shia LaBeouf, then there was a Shia LaBeouf.
Wow. And he's an archaeologist.
He's your boss.
Oh,
also,
fair enough.
yeah. Right you need help over there?
Brent Lane, everybody. Brent Lane.
Yay!
All right, back to David Wayne in the newsroom. Sorry to so rudely interrupt your newscast.
It's okay.
To be fair, he read me the Riot Act just like you did when that movie came out, so... You know, but I appreciate it.
Well, everybody's been talking about the NCAA, but there's some other sports stuff going on too, guys. The stage is set for the World Baseball Classic
yes.
Final, and this is
yes.
going to be happening tonight in Miami. Japan defeated Mexico in the semifinals last night. The U.S. hoping to defend its WBC title. They won it in 2017. Japan hoping for their third title.
That's going to be interesting because... most of the Japanese players would not be Major League Baseball players, right? Other than what, Shohei Ohtani and, is he Korean or Japanese? All of a sudden, I'm not sure. So that's going to be interesting because you don't know the Japanese players. Of course, Japan has a robust baseball league that has some really amazing talents. So this ought to be an interesting game tonight. Anyway,
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty much all I have.
No, keep going.
All right. Well, there's a new report that says that the first officers that arrived at the scene in Uvalde, Texas last year did not engage the gunman because of the weapon that he was using. According to the Texas Tribune, the officers told investigators they had no choice but to wait for backup because they found out he was using an AR-15. And that wait reportedly delayed the medical care for more than 2 dozen victims.
Way to bring down the room.
Yeah.
See, this is why I was going to stop.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So, Crystal Skull, everybody?
Yeah, so, man, I so want to say a thing, but let me just say it this way. Some would blame the weapon, some would blame the officers. I'll put it that way in the lightest touch version of my commentary on that story that I can give. 529, David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody said, this show has just nuked the fridge.
Sorry.
I love that, though. In the olden days, you say they jumped the shark, and now
we nuked
the fridge.
Smart Alec.
That's pretty good. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, sometimes dependable. I don't even know where we are. What was I going to tell you? Something 437 1620 stalling. Did you? Al Franken is hosting The Daily Show now. Because they're doing a different host a week. And he's like, last night, I don't have the clips cut for you. It wasn't that entertaining, but, you know, because it's Al Franken. He was like, finally, they let a white guy in.
I didn't mean to have my mic on when that happened.
No, well, because, you know, Jon Stewart for the longest time. But it's been all, you know, black people filling in. And I thought it was entertaining. So, you know, there you go. What do you have coming up, David?
The school board discussing the superintendent issue after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's prediction that he'd be arrested today is not coming true, law enforcement sources tell Fox. Security logistics in New York are still being worked out if it happens.
The grand jury has another witness to hear from tomorrow. Yesterday, they heard from Robert Costello, who once served as a legal advisor to Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen. Costello sat before the grand jury for more than 2 hours, testifying that Cohen is a liar on a, quote, revenge tour.
Fox's Brooks Singman. Cohen says Costello's testimony is fiction. Last-minute negotiations failed to stop a three-day public school strike in Los Angeles.
Local SEIU 99, which represents cafeteria workers, special education assistants, bus drivers, custodians, and others, says they plan to strike today through Thursday. The school district asked for but did not get an injunction, though they still allege the strike is unlawful in documents filed with California's Public Employment Relations Board.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31. News Radio 92.3. Right now, clear skies. It is 44 degrees in Pensacola. When they meet tonight, the Escambia School Board expected to vote on that proposal that would return the job of school superintendent back to an elected position rather than an appointed one.
So let's give that to the people. You know, let's not let your feelings, your emotions, your friendships get involved what the people want. Y'all are here to represent us.
That was yesterday during the public comment session. Last month, District 1 member Kevin Adams said he planned to bring that proposal to the table. If the school board does approve it, it would go to the Board of County Commissioners, and they would need to vote for it to be added to a future ballot. Funeral service has been announced for that Northview High School student that was killed in a head-on crash on Highway 29 last week. 18-year-old Kara Santarelli's family has announced a celebration of life is going to be held Saturday at the Pensacola Beach Pier for her, and they've also established a GoFundMe account to help with her final expenses. Governor DeSantis says cash is king. He was in Panama City yesterday. The governor says a ban on any digital currency by central banks would give authorities the power to cut off purchases that they don't agree with.
You go and buy gasoline. If you bought too much gasoline, they just won't allow you to use this to make a transaction. Who knows whether they would let you buy a firearm.
And the governor wants the state legislature to ban crypto that was created by central banks, including by the Federal Reserve. Unlike Bitcoin, he says those would be under the authority of a central government. The Biden administration has been studying the possibility of a digital currency in the U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen argues it could outcompete private systems like Bitcoin. Well, fresh off this year's convention, Pensacon organizers have already started announcing guests for next year. Pensacon announced one of those guests you could meet next year would be actor, comedian, and filmmaker Pauly Shore.
Anybody home? Hello!
Hey!
That was from 1993's Son-in-Law Shore, known from, of course, several early 90s comedies. Including Encino Man. He also played recently the voice of Bobby Zemirowski in A Goofy Movie. Pensacon has already announced three other guests as well, including Cesar Garcia from Better Call Saul and Jenny and Barry Gregory. 5:34, it's News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Another chilly start to the day with temperatures warming up in the afternoon near 65 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, not getting nearly as chilly with lows in the 50s, 52 degrees. For Wednesday, we will warm up. Plenty of sunshine, high near 73. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 44 in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, 36 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Cap Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focused on core importance of public health awareness and preparedness. This month, they focus on rabies, early learning, prenatal care, and safe sleep. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on Twitter at Healthy Escambia.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Celebrate the arts this Saturday and Sunday in the Breeze at the 27th annual Gulf Breeze Arts Festival. Check out the over 100 local, regional, and national artist booths. For more info, gulfbreezearts.com. Join the Pensacola Ice Flyers, UWF, and the Gulf Coast Kids House for a fun friends and family day this Sunday. A portion of the proceeds benefits the Gulf Coast Kids House. See gulfcoastkidshouse.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Shane Tucker. He is the chief deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. It's good to talk to you again.
Good morning. Great to have you on. I had some questions on a case that I'm going to assume in advance you can't talk about because I think it's in litigation, but if you can, obviously you let me know. You had this this deputy who did work for you, David Daniels. I guess there was an alcohol incident in his past. At some point, he was then assigned or reassigned to be an SRO. And we've all seen the terrible video that's come out of him with this 8-year-old autistic boy being put in handcuffs. And, you know, let me start with this. He does not work for you anymore. And am I right in assuming you can't talk much about the details here?
That's correct. You know, like you noted, there is ongoing civil litigation, so I'm barred from speaking about that particular case.
I understand. I do have questions because I think the two questions that people have related to this case, number one is, you know, what kind of training do SROs get to prepare them for dealing with kids, particularly special needs kids? And then are there ever circumstances, according to your policy, that would justify having a kid in handcuffs? And I don't know the answer to those questions. That's why I'm asking you.
Sure, those are good questions. Our SROs are actually well-trained. They go through a actual school resource officer class. They go through, I believe it's a 40-hour class, and they learn how to be a resource officer. And that brings with it a whole host of things. You know, that covers the gamut of things that they're going to experience as a resource officer. But in addition to that, they also go to specialized training, crisis intervention techniques, and things like that. They go through specialized training in dealing with juveniles, particularly those with emotional or mental disabilities, because, you know, you see that a lot in schools these days, kids facing some kind of crisis. So they are actually trained to do that. As for your second question, there certainly are times when it is permissible to handcuff a child. That's going to be somewhat of a case-by-case basis based on behavior and circumstance. I'm not going to say definitively that it's never okay to handcuff a child, and I'm certainly not going to say that it's appropriate in every circumstance. But, you know, if the child does present a danger of escape or something like that, then that's certainly a possibility.
I would imagine there are cases where the child is a danger to themselves or to others, where there doesn't seem to be any other remedy, in which case it would be justified. I imagine other cases where it would definitely not be justified. And then I can imagine an in-between case where it might be justified but not the best choice. And, you know, officers are hopefully going to be able to make those decisions and come up with the best alternative. Basically, in general, that's all correct, right?
Yeah, that is.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thank you. That I think that just helps for some people to have a sense of the parameters here. You guys are working a homicide this morning. Is that right?
We are. Last night, our deputies responded to a complaint of a shooting at a Navarre apartment complex. When they got on scene, they discovered an adult male deceased and apparently the victim of a homicide. Our major crimes investigators and crime scene investigators are actively working that case, trying to piece together what happened, what took place, and who's responsible. So we don't know a lot right now, but as that information becomes available, certainly we'll get it released to you.
Wow. All right. Well, you guys also, I think you had over the weekend on Saturday, you had an aggravated battery.
We did indeed. Saturday, our deputies were dispatched to a home in Milton after receiving a report of some type of domestic disturbance. Almost immediately upon arriving, the first deputy was met by an irate individual who aggressively pretty much charged the deputy. You know, the deputy gave him several commands to get back, to stop advancing on him, and he didn't. So he was ultimately tased and taken into custody right off the bat. And after further investigation, they made contact with the victim, which was the mother of the adult male that the deputy first encountered, and learned that there had been some kind of altercation after he became irate, ostensibly over some religious differences between the two. So he struck her with a closed fist and a aluminum baseball bat. So he was charged with aggravated battery as well as resisting an officer. And of course, the mother received medical treatment.
And the officer wasn't injured in the takedown?
The officer was not injured.
And that's, you know, you pass over this pretty quickly, but for people who are not familiar, you know, this is why you do some of the drills and the simulators, because when somebody's charging at you, you know, on the moment, it can be hard to tell, well, is this a person? Is this a person with a knife? Is this a person with a gun? Is this a person who knows jiu-jitsu? You know, what am I about to get into? And you make very rapid decisions about hand-to-hand defense, taser defense, nightclub defense, pepper spray defense, or gun defense, right?
You do. And in those split-second moments, you have to make decisions, and generally speaking, in a situation like this, you're far less likely to sustain injuries yourself or the other party sustain injuries from a tasing as opposed to a physical, you know, fisticuff, so to speak. You know, there's the taser causes momentary pain. It contracts your muscles. It locks your muscles up. But once the taser stops, the pain stops. Which is not the case when you're exchanging punches with somebody. If you get punched in the face, you're going to have contusions and swelling and pain for quite some time. So it's safer for all involved. But precisely why you don't charge at deputies in an irate manner, you know, raising your arms and you know, shouting things, because those are the kind of decision that the deputy's confronted with, and he has to make a split-second decision. And fortunately, in this particular circumstance, neither the deputy nor the suspect were injured.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly this is a case where it doesn't take much for this to go a whole lot worse for that particular individual. And, you know, and obviously we're glad that the woman is apparently going to be all right as well. Shane Tucker, he is the Chief Deputy Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. As always, Chief, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and helping us understand what the law is. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, 5:43 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you are thinking about that next used vehicle or new vehicle and you're not quite sure which way to go, what you want to do, well, Frontier Motors, listen, they have a fantastic selection of cars that basically, like, their business model is, yes, deal with people honestly, be great at follow-up, you know, all of the things around selling used cars that you don't normally expect, okay? But the basic business model is let's sell people new cars at used car prices. because they're not new, right? They're 1 year old. They're 2 years old. They're gently used. They're the cars that somebody else drove for a little while, and now you get to drive them. But then you don't have to pay that depreciation loss to drive it off the lot. You know, that first mile is very expensive in a new car. So the idea is to get you good quality cars at good prices and then take care of you before, during, and, of course, after the sale, something I've talked about many times. Also, great selection, about 300 different cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, sports cars, sedans on the lot at any given moment, and you can compare several to each other. You know, drive four or five cars. Don't just drive one, and drive one that might be outside of the category just to get a sense of whether that might not work for you. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I don't know. You're the one who's got to buy it. Drive it. Try it. See it. You never, and just maybe make it fun like a date. You know, why not? Do something with your sweetie. Go drive some cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join Travis Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mark calling Austin. Come in, Austin. Mark calling Austin. Come in, Austin.
Public and the board's edification, what was the total ask from a financial standpoint for this proposal?
Well, can I give you the about the square grounds first?
Certainly.
Before going into that.
It was actually kind of an interesting moment. During the agenda review, or they call it the committee meeting that took place for the Santa Rosa County Commission yesterday, which was relatively long for them. They're usually like an hour or less. The one yesterday was like 2.5 hours. Anyway, you had Chief Dan Helms, Skyhorse Helms from the, I always get the name wrong, the Santa Rosa branch of the Muskogee Indians. Okay, thank you. I just have to think about it for a second to get the names just right. Anyway, he was there, and there was a guy named Lowell Bassett there, and they were coming to the county with an ask. What they want to do is they want to kind of build an educational center that kids can come visit on the site of the property that they own in Santa Rosa County. And then they also, and that was Colton Wright asking, okay, so what's the price tag? And Lowell Bassett's like, just a second. Part two. You know, there's a part two, and part two is really cool.
The second part of this proposal is it's called a square grounds. And the square grounds is an astrological calendar. and we have a small replica of a square grounds on our property right now, but we would like to build a working square ground. And it's a, like I said, it's an astrological calendar.
And if you'd never heard of it, I had not either, so I looked it up, and the pictures I could find, I don't think were all that great, but it's basically like a kind of a, you know, a square area like he talks about. It has a, almost looks like a kiosk in the middle of it, the purpose of which...
Our people were agrarian, and so it was very important to them to know the seasons and when to go and plant, when to pick, when to shut things down, when to hunt. And so the astrological calendar, it's composed of four buildings, and it's where the posts are located on those buildings is the key to the ground working. And that's uses the positioning of the sun and where the shadows would fall within the square ground.
So if you're farmers, you need to know like when to plant.
If you knew what you were looking at, you could walk into that square ground and you could tell what day it was.
Of the year.
Not only does it track the sun and the seasons, it also tracks the movements of the planet Venus, which is the morning and evening star, over an 8-year period of time.
And it's relatively accurate.
If you regress this back, as they have put it on a computer and regressed it back, at 6,500 years, it was still dead on accurate. 6,500 years predates Stonehenge by 3,000 years and predates the pyramids of Giza by 3,000 years. So this has been around a long time.
And apparently even has a capability to indicate the measurement of the diameter at the equator, which is like, how would they have known that here? I mean, pretty cool stuff. And they want to build one in Santa Rosa County as part of this educational semi-tourism outreach, okay? And it's going to cost around $80,000 to $85,000. They're asking for the county to contribute some. There's a long discussion about how, you know, where's the money going to come from? Would it come from tourism dollars? Would it come from the state? Would it come from, for example, the school board? If kids are going to go to this, then it's an educational thing, and maybe the school district would be able to fund some of it. That was James Calkins' suggestion, is to approach them. So just interesting that, you know, we just talked to Chief Helms a couple of weeks ago, and to hear about them wanting to do this thing that is not very expensive in the grand scheme of things. So hopefully there'll be some support for this, and they'll figure out funding for it and put it together. And it'll be that. He was saying that there's only, I think, 3 people in the entire U.S. that understand how to make one of these things. And, you know, they're getting older, so, like, time is not on the side of, you know, manufacturing one again as a, you know, a recreation of what it used to be. 552 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden has now vetoed a bill that would have reversed a Labor Department rule on environmental, social, and governance investing, otherwise known as ESG. The Biden administration issued the rule stating that money managers can weigh climate change and other ESG factors when making decisions for retirement investments.
First veto of his presidency.
Yes, yes,
which,
it is.
Which mostly is because no bills get through.
Right.
You know, but think about that. A bill that actually got through from Republicans and Democrats. 2 Democrats voted for this bill in the Senate, and he vetoed it. The one that would say just do investing based on investing for, you know, pension funds and things like that. But no, he wants to preserve their ability to invest based on ESG. Sorry, go ahead.
California's biggest school district is closing its campuses today. Los Angeles Unified School District Superintendent Alberto Carvalho says their negotiations fell through, and 65,000 of their school district employees are walking out. That's also the second biggest school district in the nation. And supporters are gathered outside of Trump Tower in Manhattan ahead of a potential indictment of former President Donald Trump today. Retired NYPD Chief Terry Monahan says the NYPD is working with other agencies to be prepared for anything today, and barricades up at Trump Tower and also at Manhattan Criminal Court.
Now, if I'd have known about this early on enough, and if I had been in a position to pull off what I consider to be the potential hypothetical greatest prank in U.S. history, what I would have done is I would have found the shipping order for the protest signs that were supposed to go to L.A., or the teachers are going to protest about low pay. And I would have sent those signs to New York and taken the signs where go to the Trump protesters who are upset about Trump getting indicted today and sent those signs out to L.A. so that all of the liberal teachers in L.A. would be protesting, keep Trump free, free Trump now. And, you know, the people in New York would be like, more pay for teachers. We need to help the kids.
This is the best prank ever.
Because it would have been great. And it's just interesting, you know, because everybody's got their cause. Let's put it that way. Everybody's got their cause. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, what was it that there was actually kind of a funny clip. I mentioned before that Al Franken is the one sitting in for The Daily Show this week as they're doing their week-by-week, you know, rotate a wheel of guest hosts.
Finally a white guy.
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Yeah.
Welcome to The Daily Show. I'm your host for the week, Al Franken. I'm the ninth guest host so far and the first white male guest host. Feel free to
go on. Yeah, that's right.
Token white. Yeah, obviously.
Wait, Sarah Silverman was on. That's right.
What's that?
Sarah Silverman was on not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. So
and it was
token,
not
token
bad.
White male. That's right.
Right.
White female, right, obviously, as far as we know.
That's right. According to Donald Trump himself, Donald Trump may actually be indicted this week. And I've got just one thing to say about that. Finally!
Okay, the reason I wanted to play that for you is because in the middle of the montage and the news and the gloating over the Trump, they played this clip, who I think this is Jonathan Carl from ABC, I think is who this was. Sometimes you just know people because you've watched a lot of TV news, and I think that's who this one. Anyway, but the what he says is the funnier part.
The only person saying that Donald Trump will be arrested tomorrow is Donald Trump. And Trump's own spokesperson says that they have not been notified of any pending arrests.
That is true. This is like the leading news story in the American news universe for the last, 4 days since Saturday, since Trump posted about. The only person who's saying he's getting indicted today is him. Nobody else. I mean, what's the classic Trump strategy? I will control the media by giving them outrageous things that drive them crazy. And because, you know, this is going to sound like an insult. I don't mean it that way. He's a fantastic carnival barker, right? He's a fantastic, like, ringleader of the circus. And some of you are going to hear that as criticism. I say, no, he understands what will capture people's attention. In the most horrifying way, in the most entertaining way, you know, however you want to see it, okay? And it would not surprise me in the least if this turns out to all be nonsense. Like, think of all of the ink and the airtime that's been spilt over Donald Trump in the last 4 days since this thing came out. Oh, and by the way, as a total side note to all, including what DeSantis said yesterday, which was hilarious. I'll play that for you at the top of the hour. But no, what I thought was fascinating is I've never been on Truth Social. I just haven't. I mean, I've seen stories about Truth Social posts.
Mm-hmm.
This cracked me up. Do you know what they call it? Okay, first of all, do you know what they call it when you want to affirm a post on Truth Social? Okay, on Facebook, it's a like.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On Truth Social, they call it a. It's a like.
Oh, okay.
It's not all that creative. But when you want to share something, okay. Like on Twitter, it's a retweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they call it on Truth Social? A retruth. I know Truth Social's been out for a little while, and maybe a smarter, more aware person would have come across this, but I fell off the couch laughing. 56,000 likes for one of his posts about this over the weekend. 22,000 retruths. I just love it. Come on. That is the most Trump thing you can imagine, is that when you share stories on his social media platform, that's called retruthing. That's awesome. You listen, whatever you think about him, love the man, despise the man, admire him, fear him, whatever. You've got to admit, that's about the most Trumpian thing you've ever heard, is that retruthing is sharing truth posts on the social media platform that he created. 559 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Oh, man, sometimes entertained. I'll just put it that way. Hey, the Navy Federal 5K, the 13th annual 5K, comes up Saturday, April 1st, downtown Pensacola. Race starts at 8, ends at Seville Quarter. As all good races do, they end at a bar. NavyFederal.org/5K if you want more information about that. We've also got the Art of Fashion, 17th annual Art of Fashion, comes up Thursday, April 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Museum Plaza. That's a good venue for it, yeah. So find out more at NewsRadio923.com.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The Blues are back, and we've got some information on where you can possibly watch them practice.